Hi, you're listening to your Route to Wellbeing podcast. This podcast shares strategies, insights, nuggets, and tools to inspire and support you as you step boldly towards creating the well-being that you desire and deserve. Each week, I share insights and inspiration from different people who have expertise across one or more of the 11 domains of well-being. Each one of the guests that I've chosen to talk to have found the clues through their lives and experiences, through their careers and their knowledge, that I want you to have access to. My big question is, how can we all pulse with energy and truly live while we're alive? I believe that these people that I'm talking to have some of the crucial answers. So relax, listen up, and thank you for tuning in. Please remember to leave us a review and also to share this podcast with anyone in your network who you think it may help. Hello, I'm Sue Fullergood from the Energy Incubator, and I'm so excited to be with you today on your Route to Wellbeing podcast. Thank you for tuning in. It's such a pleasure to be able to share with you this morning's talk with Vash, who is going to tell us all about his story and who has such a lot to teach us about the art of manifestation and about mindset. And so just to let you know a little bit about who Vash is, he comes from the Czech Republic. He is young, he is vibrant, and he's full of enthusiasm and passion. And one of the things he's so full of passion for is manifesting whatever you dream. He has turned his own life around in the space of a tiny amount of time using the tools and techniques that he's going to share with us today. So I was lucky enough to come across Vash and have a brief conversation with him myself already, and I was highly inspired, so I can't wait to share with you what he has to say. So without further ado, Vash, good morning. Can I hand you the microphone and can you tell us all about yourself where you come from and how you came to have this expertise that you're sharing with us today?
Yes. First of all, thank you, Sue, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners. And basically where I come from the Czech Republic, which is a small country in the middle of Europe. And my journey was very predictable. I went to school, then I went to university, then I would probably continue to get some job, maybe in accounting. I was going that route. But I studied university in England, so I had to earn my own money to pay for the living, pay for the expenses. And I started delivering food for Uber Eats. That was my last job I've done. So every day I would sit on my bike and for a few hours I would deliver food. And I started to have these thoughts about what if you start an online business? What if you went the route about entrepreneurship? Because I started reading books like The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Think and Grow Rich, probably the classics in that space. But I was always postponing it. Now looking back at it, I know I had some fears, fear of being rejected, fear of failure, fear of what if it doesn't work, fear of what other people will think of me. And therefore, I was always procrastinating, always saying, yeah, I will start next week, next month after exams. And then there was a pivotal moment when I was delivering food. There was no orders coming through. So I decided to join the group of other people who also deliver food, and they were much older than me. They were in their 30s, 40s, some even in their 50s. And all I could hear were complaints, how they are not happy with the job, how they can't give their families what they want in terms of money, time, how they don't enjoy it. And in that moment, it was like somebody paused the time, and I just decided in that moment, I don't want to end up like these people. I don't want to be in a job I don't like. I don't want to be unhappy. I want to do what I love. And in that moment, it was like some fire started burning inside of me. And in that moment, I decided to go all in and face my fears and start my online business. So I started marketing agency. So we are helping businesses with their Facebook, Google advertising. And I started to have quite huge success pretty quickly. And we'll probably discuss the tools and strategies. And then people started coming to me, "Hey, Vash, could you coach me?" I was like, "Okay, I can coach you. What does it mean?" And they said, "I pay you for your time." I said, "Okay." And that's how my coaching journey started. And I had the privilege to coach over 2,000 people from 65 countries, from employees, entrepreneurs, students, from all walks of life, usually coaching them on their mindset, a little bit on entrepreneurship, but usually people's business problem or personal problem is their mindset problem. So I always start with the mindset. And then I also started a software company. I sold it to US. And now I'm leading one of the biggest communities for self-improvement in my country, in the Czech Republic. So that's a small introduction, what businesses I have, but also how my journey started with the pivotal moment.
Wow. I think it always does take a pivotal moment for most of us. We can sort of identify exactly what that moment was when we sort of took that first step. But
yes.
You and I started to connect on the subject of well-being, because that's really what this podcast is all about, your route to well-being. And people might right now be sitting there listening to us and be thinking, how does this, what does this have to do with well-being? Can you join the dots for them?
Yes, 100%. Because I believe at some level, the internal, how we feel about ourselves, what habits do we have, how we behave, what emotions do we experience on a daily basis, is going to create basically our external life. So if anybody listening to this podcast maybe want to have better relationships with themselves or others, maybe he wants to create some better result in their life, they want to be in better shape, better relationship, then it all starts with us. And that's how my journey started, because I had to look myself in a mirror and start looking at my behaviors that are not aligned with the future I want. I had to look at the emotions I have day to day, look at the thoughts I was having. So to me, it has everything to do with it. Because if I didn't change myself first, I wouldn't create these external results. So I always tell people, is the life you currently have was created by you, by your habits, by your thoughts, by your beliefs, by your emotions. Yes, it's easier to blame the schooling system, parents, friends, economics, politics, inflation. I know it's easier to blame it, but if we are very honest, we must agree that the life we currently have, the good and the bad, we create it by our decisions, by our behaviors. And therefore, if somebody wants to increase their well-being, again, it starts with them looking in the mirror and analyzing which behaviors are not aligned with the well-being vision I have for myself.
Wow. You know, what you say is so true, and it does all come back to taking a moment to reflect on yourself. And the mind is so quick to find an excuse outside of yourself. So it takes a little bit of courage and self-discipline and to reverse that automatic thinking and take it back inside. So thank you for highlighting that for us. What do you think are the most destructive habits that destroy well-being of, and you speak so much of the mind, so let's talk about mind well-being. What habits do you think are the most troublesome?
First of all, think it's that most people have the inner voice that is honestly their worst enemy. I tell people, if I put your voice that is playing in your head next to you, you wouldn't call it your friend. you would call it your worst enemy, because the voice is always telling you things like you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not talented enough, you can't achieve this, you can't do this. And it's not your best friend, it's your worst enemy. And I think we need to start there, that the voice we take with us everywhere, unless it's supportive, unless it has our best interest in mind, then it's going to go always against our intentions with well-being. Because intention is big. We must make a decision, set an intention, what we want to change. And I think the first habit is definitely the negative loops or the negative thoughts of the mind, we could say. That's why maybe later we can speak about some tools how to get this mind so it's not our worst enemy, but it becomes our best friend. So that's the first one. Second one, due to social media and other types of media, it's so easy to compare yourself. I think that's such an unhealthy habit, because we take somebody who has different background, different parents, different life experiences, different friends, different education, and we try to compare ourselves to them. That's, to me, just not smart, because you can't compare two things that are not the same. So if you go on Instagram or other social media and you see somebody who looks healthier, who looks happier, who looks wealthier, it's easy to compare ourselves, but that never leads to more action. It usually leads to negative emotions, which leads to maybe overeating after that. Maybe we feel sorry for ourselves. Somebody might maybe use some drugs like alcohol, and that's just not healthy. So another habit is comparing yourself to others. I tell people the only person who has the same conditions as you is you. So the only person you can compare yourself is you. So if on some virtual scale, 1 to 10, you were last month 3 in terms of well-being, and this month you are 4, that's a big win. You're better this month than last month. So the only person we can compare ourselves is us, and we should be doing it monthly or at least yearly to look back and see if we are improving, if we are better version of ourselves. So second thing, I would say comparing ourselves to others. And then, of course, this is triggered usually by the mind, but all these unhealthy habits that lead us away from well-being. And usually these habits or these behaviors are escapes. It could be drugs, it could be television, watching too much of it, it could be unhealthy food, it could be overeating, undereating, all of that are usually triggered by some emotions, because people don't know how to deal with their emotions. So they start feeling they're in stress or they're overwhelmed and they grab a chocolate. Somebody might not feel good enough and they grab a bottle of alcohol. So the third thing I would say is definitely escaping the emotions rather than facing them, understanding them, and basically holding space for yourself rather than running away from it.
And by the way, hard work is one of those unhealthy habits and escape. Yes. You know, overwork. I'm not talking about hard work, but excessive.
Great point.
Yeah. So I couldn't agree with you more about the voices in your head. I always say that comes from your ego, and the purpose of it is to try to protect you.
Yes.
So it's quite difficult to realize that the voice that's supposed to protect you and look after you in life is actually harming you. Mm-hmm. And I think it really is helpful to bring to your awareness that this voice that's trying to help you is trying to help you in the short term. It's got no vision for the future. Just wants you to be okay and suffering free now. Mm-hmm. And that's also the same voice that would encourage you to compare yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. So I love what you say about that. And really to try to see that you can be a better version of yourself rather than to compare yourself to somebody else. It's really brilliant. And This has a lot to do with mental well-being, but of course it translates across into physical well-being as well, because the mind and the body are inextricably linked to each other. So, you know, if you're feeling really bad about who you are as a person, it's going to lead to poor posture, it's going to lead to muscle tension and so on. And it's going to lead to inflammation. What can the listeners do right away to start to improve their mindset state and the well-being of their mindset? Can you talk a little bit about that for us?
Yes. Before I get to it, you mentioned so many great points that I would like to go a little bit further, because as you said, the mental is so connected to your physical. If a person is in stress because of thoughts of how can I pay for the mortgage? What if I lose the job? What if that? We start imagining the worst case scenario. What happens to our body? It starts tensing. Maybe we put our shoulders up like this. We are very stiff. So, of course, that will translate to our health. In stress, we have the tendency to overeat. You know, in stress, it's no time to digest. So usually when we eat in stress, we don't digest properly. That leads to more problems. I think all of us can agree that one of the biggest, if not the biggest, killer or cause of disease is stress. And stress in today's world is rarely created by some danger. That we run out of food, that there is lion in the backyard. Rarely is about this. All of the stresses are usually created in our mind, because just we could be employed and the boss just walk past by us and doesn't say hello. And what does the mind do? Okay, he's going to fire me. If he fires me, then I won't be able to pay for the mortgage. What about the kids? And maybe the boss just didn't see us, but the mind created a stress that, of course, is going to influence our health, even though it's not true. So as you said, the dangers in today's world are minor, especially in the countries we live. There's not that much danger. All the danger is created by the ego, because it was created thousands of years ago when there was a lot of danger. So that was a great point from your side mentioning this. And how can a person start working with this? Is you mentioned the word awareness, because once we become aware of it, it's almost, it gives us a power to change it. Because now most people go on autopilot. So they automatically compare themselves to others. They automatically don't feel good enough when they go to a party where they don't know many people. They do it as a program automatically. But the moment we bring it an awareness to it, it's almost like we can observe it, not getting involved in it. We just observe, that's interesting. A boss didn't say hello to me, and the mind is telling me I'm going to lose a job. But we can just observe it, not giving it any importance. It's like watching a TV. We see it, we observe it, but we are not involved in it. And of course, probably people maybe heard about mindfulness, meditation. And to me, that's one of the best habits to increase this awareness. And I recommend 15 minutes a day. I started years ago. My mind was like a monkey mind, going like crazy. But with each meditation, my awareness increased. And what was the result? That all of a sudden, I noticed that the mind is telling me, Vash, come on, have some ice cream in the evening. Or Vash, let's scroll a little bit. It's okay. And the mind is always trying to pull you in to do a bad behavior. And then once you do it, it switches and start telling you, oh, you messed up. You messed up, or you spent so much time. That's so bad. So I start to observe it. And in that moment, it created a choice. So I observe it, the mind telling me, come on, Vaj, let's go scrolling a little bit. And in that moment, because I was aware, I had a choice. Do I want to go there? Or do I want to, let's say, grab a book, talk to my loved ones instead? So I started making better choices. And the better choices I made, of course, my well-being increased, but also my life results increase. So meditation, and anybody can start today. I recommend just sit down and you can observe your breath. And a lot of people think that meditation is about sitting down and for 15 minutes have no thoughts. That's impossible, especially at the beginning. For me, meditation, it is we focus on our breath and we start thinking about lunch and we bring it back to the breath. We start thinking about email we didn't send yesterday and we bring it back to the breath. And just like that, with each distraction and bringing it back, we are training our ability to observe ourselves, our ability to stay focused. And people usually say, or after a few weeks, that they can focus better, they are less distracted, they are more observant, they are making better choices. So for me, that's the number one habit I would recommend for people that will help them silence the inner critic, helps them to be more aware, more observant, and also more in the present moment. And a lot of people, including myself, a few years back, I wasn't present. So I would be eating incredible food, but I would be thinking about a client. So I wouldn't enjoy the meal. I would be at vacation and I would be thinking about work. So I didn't enjoy the vacation. Then at work, I was thinking about vacation. So a lot of people are always few days, few weeks, few months ahead. Where are they now? And that's what meditation helps us do.
I think you make such a good point about that, because people always think that they've got to have the silent mind in order to be successful at meditation, and they often give it up because they don't have a silent mind. They say, I just can't do that. But actually, it's the bringing back that's, I always say, like going to gym and picking up a weight. Every time you bring yourself back, you've picked up a weight, and that makes your body stronger and it will make your mind stronger. So yeah, it's the noticing that's the critical factor.
Exactly, because so many people say, Vash, I can't meditate. But that just means that they have these big expectations that they should sit down, have no thoughts. And because they have these impossible expectations, they don't meet it and they think they are doing it wrong. But every meditation, you get better. I remember I could hold maybe my attention 6 seconds. Next week, 8 seconds, 10 seconds. And like in a gym, when you start working out, you don't bench press or squat 100 kilos or 200 pounds. First, you start with just 1 kilo, 2 kilo, and slowly you add up. And the same principle is here in meditation. So yes, it's an incredible habit, but people need to have the right expectations, which is you are going to get distracted and that's okay. And every time you bring it back, it's a victory. You got just a little bit better.
Yeah. Thank you for making it so simple. people always say they don't have time. That's always an excuse that I hear. I just don't have time. And I can even hear my own mind saying that, even though I've been meditating for 30 years. But it's easy to say you don't have time. But the truth is, you don't have time because you don't believe in it.
Yes.
So it might be worth just giving it a whirl, listening to someone like you who's used this tool so incredibly powerfully. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us exactly what you think you've gained from meditating?
Yes. And to address the time, let's be honest, it's an excuse. The time, when somebody said, I don't have a time, it means I don't give it a priority. That's it. Because if you were super sick and I told you if you meditate, you would get healed, all of a sudden you would give it a priority and all of a sudden you would find time for it. So don't have time means I don't give it a priority. But once people understand the benefits, it's easier to give it a priority. And I think everybody is a little guilty that throughout the day we are not always productive. So why not take 15 minutes of scrolling and invest it in meditations? Why not take 15 minutes from complaining with another colleague and invest 15 minutes in this? I believe everybody, if they want to, will find the time. And what I gained from it is many, many things. The first one, I used to be warrior with O. So always worrying about things. What if that happens? What if this doesn't work? What people will think of me? So the mind was in control. I just, whatever the mind said, I started to think, I would start feel according to it. So I started to be more present because of meditation. And I'm no longer so much worried about the future. I'm more in this moment. And as a result, I enjoy things more. Because I started to have success with my business. So I started to maybe travel more, have some experiences. But I realized that I don't remember much. Because I was at the vacation thinking about clients, about some work issues. So I started to be more present, which leads me to enjoy everything more. And I mean everything. Then it led to not underestimate myself because my confidence wasn't as high because I was always undermining myself. Oh, you're not that good. Oh, look at this guy. He's younger and he's better than you. Or Vaj, you're not that smart. Who do you think you are? So once I stopped this voice, I started to feel more healthy confidence that I know when obstacle arises, I will deal with it. When there is a new challenge, I know I will find a way or make a way. So I gained a lot of confidence. Also, what happened is that basically the inner critic, as I was saying, is more silent. So it's no longer, Vash, you can't do this. It's more, Vash, you can do it. It's not in the gym that, Vash, take a break. It's, Vash, you can do two more. So the worst enemy become my friend. And it's good to have your best friend with you anywhere you go because the voice supports your efforts. The voice is encouraging you to do more and be better. So these were the benefits. And also towards the end of the meditation, I usually add small visualization, something that a lot of sports people use, visualizing maybe their goal being achieved. And I believe because I visualize vividly my goals, in a way I achieve them faster.
Yeah, well, you're certainly achieving your goals fast and seriously. Can you talk about what to do when you have a negative thought? How do you recommend that people can deal with that if they notice it? I mean, obviously noticing is the critical factor because you can't do anything about it until you notice it. But once you've noticed it, what to do?
Mm-hmm. As you said, before you notice it, you're on autopilot. And a lot of people live their life on autopilot. But once you notice it, that's a big win. Just noticing to me is a big win. And then you must start believing that just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. So I might have a thought, let's just say, I'm going to now just leave this podcast and eat some ice cream. I might have the thought, but doesn't mean I'm going to do it. I might have a thought to maybe shout at this person who did something that I didn't expect, but that doesn't mean I need to do it. And that was big for me because I always acted on my thoughts. The thoughts was, Vash, let's watch TV. Okay. Oh, Vash, let's get distracted. Okay. Vash, let's say this to this person. Okay. But I decided or realized that just because I have a thought doesn't mean I need to act on it. So I observed the thought and then I asked a question. Is this thought loving to me? Is this thought loving to me? Like, if I'm thinking I'm not good enough, that's not loving to me. If I'm thinking that this person, maybe I'm complaining about them or blaming them or judging them, that's not loving to me nor them. So I ask this question and then I just direct my focus to something better. So if the thought is something like, look at the person, how he is, and I would judge, I said, is this loving to me? And I said, no. So what do you like about this person? What do you respect about this person? What do you appreciate about this person? So I always want to put the focus towards something that is more aligned with the life I want to live and with the intention to have high well-being, to feel great in my body and to just do what's best for me. So that's what I do when I have negative thought.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this internal voice overdrives you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it encourages you to sit and watch TV instead of get on with your work. But yeah, sometimes it says more is better and just keep going and don't take a break. So can you talk a little bit about that for us? Because I think it's, well, I've just written a book called The Sweet Spot. So it's my absolute passion. How do we find that beautiful, sweet, magical spot where it's not too much and not too little? But mm-hmm. I think the mind can often overdrive us and yes. over mm-hmm. You know, beating us with a stick all the time. Mm-hmm. So can you share what you think could be done to avoid that or to mm-hmm. manage that?
For me, again, if we, let's say, overwork, it's again driven not by joy. It's usually driven by fear or driven by not enoughness. Maybe you don't feel good enough, so I will work harder. Or I'm afraid, what if I lose it all, so I work harder. Or I'm afraid that if I, again, don't make enough money, maybe my partner will leave me, I will work harder. So it's not driven by joy, how much I can achieve or what I can create, how many people I can help. It's not driven by inspiration, joy, or gratitude. It's driven by fear. So again, for me, as you mentioned, the sweet spot I find if I ask myself, is it loving to me? So if it's 8 p.m. and it would be much better for me and much more loving to me if I took a 2 hours rest and go to bed at 10 p.m., then more loving to me is to rest and go to bed early. If it's loving to me to rather work on a project than scroll social media and compare myself, well, let's work on the project. So I always ask myself a question like these that help me navigate to find what you call the sweet spot, because I know exactly what you mean, but I always tell people, are you driven by, we could say, positive emotions, to generalize a little bit, or is it driven by negative emotions? Because a lot of people, and I had the privilege to coach a lot of entrepreneurs who are financially extremely abundant, extremely wealthy, but they are extremely broke inside. So they achieve a lot by being driven by fear, by being driven to prove others wrong, to show others. So they're driven by pain, we could call it. They achieve a ton, but they are burned out. They don't have any relationships, or they're broken. Their health is not good at all. So the costs are not worth it to me. So yes, are you driven by pain or are you driven by joy? When you're driven by joy, then the work doesn't seem like work. That means you don't overwork. But if it's from pain, I have to, otherwise I will lose something, I won't be good enough, then we know this is not loving to us and we should take a break, revisit, change, hire people maybe, or just offload a little bit of the work to make sure that we stay in our balance.
I love that. Share with us a little bit about your thoughts on joy, because I just love to have that as an intended output, mm-hmm. or outcome, if you like, from mm-hmm. our lives. Can you say something about how we know when we have joy and mm-hmm. how to get more joy?
Yes. My philosophy is that I believe joy, love, these emotions are just our natural state. Like, they shouldn't be, they don't need to be earned in a way. I believe they are our natural state, but we put so much garbage, so many layers of programming, of old beliefs, of old thoughts, negative thoughts, that it's hard to feel the joy. And for most people, unfortunately, it's just these small moments. Maybe they're driving a car, they see a sunset, and all of a sudden they start feeling joy, or their baby is born, or they have a wedding. But to me, why live 99% of something else than joy? I want to maximize joy. And in some level, I believe that our emotions are habits. What do I mean by that? If I would be angry every day, it's easier to be angry next week. It's easier to wake up angry because I practice anger, so it's easy to feel. Whatever you practice, you become. So let's intentionally practice joy. And at the beginning, you might ask yourself, which activities bring me joy? Maybe it's time spent with your pets, with your kids, with your friends. Maybe you have a hobby. But the more you practice joy, the easier it will be to feel it next time. And now I know it extremely well because my joy was conditional. And I think a lot of people can relate. Once I hit this financial number, I will feel joy. Once I will have this relationship, I will feel joy. Once we go on vacation, I will feel joy. Once I complete this project, it's conditional. And everybody can relate that you hit the financial number and then the joy moves. It's no longer this number, it's this number. Then, okay, I have relationship, but it's not working. So once we fix it, I will feel joy. Once we complete project, there is another project. So almost the joy is always a little bit ahead of people. They go towards it and it moves away. It moves away. It moves away. So I'm always thinking, how can I maximize my joy? And it started with hobbies. It sounds so simple, but a lot of people today don't have hobbies. They work, they come home, maybe they speak to their loved ones, they watch Netflix or work a little bit more and go to bed. And there's no hobbies. But I asked myself, Vash, what did you like when you were younger? What was joyful for you? And I remember I wanted to learn to play guitar. I like doing puzzles, these 2,000 piece puzzles. I like tennis. So what did I do? I ordered guitar, I ordered puzzles, I signed up for once a week tennis class, and I found out that few of these habits I really enjoy. Some of them don't, so I just stopped them, but some of them I really enjoyed, and I started to practice joy more and more and more. And also through meditation, I started to feel less of the quote-unquote negative emotions and more of the positive. So it was a combination of meditation, of finding the things I really enjoy and doing more of them, and also minimizing the things I don't like. Especially when I was living by myself, I didn't really like cleaning. That wasn't giving me joy. So I just hired a cleaner if that's for people possible. So I minimize the things that take away joy and maximize the activities that bring me joy. And then feeling joy was more and more easier. And I realized that the little voice is the one taking us away from the joy. Because you might experience, again, some a happy memory or a happy moment, but the voice tells you, but what if it doesn't last? Or, but what about this thing you forgot in your life? And all of a sudden, joyful moment is no longer joyful.
Yeah, and it really is about having unconditional joy, yes, where it doesn't have to be, you know, related to something. And yeah, that's, I think, I call it causeless happiness, you know, that it doesn't matter. You're just happy because the sun is shining or not shining, and you're alive. Yeah. So I heard you say about people being rich externally and broke internally.
Yes.
Talk us through what you exactly mean by that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because when I grew up, a lot of the talks around between parents were about money. So I always connected a lot of money equals success equals joy. That was my some program from childhood. But then I started to achieve monetary success myself. And I had the privilege to coach people who had money for multiple generations. And they were broke inside. They were wealthy externally in terms of cars, houses, material things, but broke inside. And that's when I realized the joy never comes unless we work on it now. The joy is not next week. It's not with the new car, new house, once you pay off the mortgage. It's never there. You must work on it now. And that's what I start helping people with too, especially these wealthy people, is just to get the joy again, because they were so broken inside. It was always about future goals, goals achievement, but they were never in the present moment. So for their listener, I really encourage them to, I think it's the right word in English, it's savor the moment. Just enjoy the moment, whether it's nice meal with your friends. What I do, let's say, with my partner, with my girlfriend, is before every meal, we hold hands and we say three things we are grateful for. Something that takes 2 minutes, but it brings you in the moment. You enjoy the dinner more. You enjoy the time more, because you are not with your head again. What are we going to do after? No, we are focusing in the moment. What are you grateful for? Or other things like that. Maybe you have a small break between work. Maybe go to your garden or go outside and no device. Just enjoy it. And I think that's important, to enjoy these small moments, because then you will enjoy even more the big moments. But if you don't enjoy the small moments, you won't enjoy the big moments. That was big for me to realize. If I can't enjoy meal in my home, I won't enjoy the meal in the restaurant. If I don't enjoy my old car, I won't enjoy my new car long term. So that was big for me to realize.
Yeah, and loving it the way it is, rather than thinking it should be a little bit different than it is, and thinking yes. I would have joy if it was like that, but you can't have joy because it's like it is. Yes. I think that's, if the meal is a little oversalted or a little overcooked or whatever, how can you just enjoy it the way it is?
And I will give good example. I will just give good example with this, because that's so right, that these preferences kills our joy. Because the mind always wants it a little bit different. The new car is nice, but this meal is good, but this partner is good, but. And always it finds something. And I remember that at one point, I always try to walk the path so it's easier for me as a coach to explain it later. So I decided to do 7-day darkness retreat when I was 7 days in darkness. There is no devices, no light. And it was definitely transformative. And I decided to do it just on water. And I was the type of person who eat multiple times a day and always were a little agitated or frustrated when I was for a few hours with no food. And here I was 7 days with no food. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, when I was eating my first meals, I didn't care about the taste. I didn't care much about it. I appreciate every bite of it. And it's quite good practice for people in every area to just experience when you don't have the thing you complain about. Maybe you complain about your computer being slow. Try to be weak without it, and you will find out that you can't do many things, that you are missing it. And then your old computer is again something you're grateful for. So we usually don't appreciate things until they are gone. And when we take it to relationships, when you take it to people, I think everybody can relate to when you maybe didn't say the things you wanted to a person who is no longer here. And you didn't appreciate that person in that moment, but you would probably do anything to be with the person now. And the question is, why wait? Why wait? Why not do it now? Why not appreciate the people? Why not appreciate the things you have? Because there might come a day when the person, the thing, it will be gone and you wish you enjoyed it more.
So it sounds like the inner complainer and the outer complainer is a big antidote to joy and a big killer of our joy. So can you talk a little bit about how we should work with our inner complainer? Mm-hmm. Because I always say, you know, we need to love all parts of ourselves. So it would be easy to now start to be judgy about our inner complainer. But have you got some suggestions for us on that?
Yes, the inner complainer, when we judge it, it's the still inner complainer judging. So yeah. To me, the best thing is acceptance. And that applies to all areas of our life. If we are not happy today, if we are maybe not in the best physical shape, it's not going to help to complain why we ate like this for 10 years, why we didn't move more. No, accept it. Okay, I have 10 kilos more than I should. Or yes, I don't feel great in my body. Or yes, the inner critic criticizes me a lot. Acceptance is the first step because that gives us the power to change it. So I just accept it. That's how it is. I accept it. Vash, you don't enjoy things. Vash, you are always ahead of time because you're thinking about what could go wrong. Once I accept it, I could start work with it. And we could call it reprogramming it, because we program the voice to be like that, and we can reprogram it to be any other way. It's almost like with a dog. If we beat the dog, if we treat the dog terribly, the dog can bite us. But if we treat the dog well, we train him, we give him rewards for his effort, the dog will sooner or later start behave and be nice friends to us. So let's be the same to the inner voice. And how, for example, I reprogram the voice is also something maybe the listeners know about. It's called mirror work. When you stand in front of a mirror and you look yourself in the eyes, because a lot of people, when maybe they pass a mirror, they usually look at them and say something negative. They say, oh, today your hair is terrible, or, you know, you're out of shape, or the dress doesn't fit you. But this time you stand maybe 5 minutes in front of a mirror, you look yourself in the eyes, and that could be already emotional for many people because they never look themselves in the eyes. And then I continue to say things I appreciate about myself. And the more I express things I appreciate about myself, whether it was the work ethic, maybe it was how I was kind to certain people, maybe I appreciate how even though there are obstacles, I overcome them. And sooner or later, I reprogram the voice to appreciate myself. And then I like to express many things throughout the day I'm grateful for, because I'm training my mind to look for things that are not wrong that I am grateful for. A lot of people look at things that are wrong, they don't like, and therefore they see more of them. But if we start expressing more things we are grateful for and noticing them, all of a sudden we will start notice them more and more.
Yep, I think you make so much sense. Mm-hmm. And apart from meditation, can you mention other ways of reflecting so you can increase your level of awareness?
Definitely, it's some type of journaling that helps a lot, whether it's at the end of a day. And just reflect on your day. I like to simplify to just two areas. First area is, what did I do well? What do I want to repeat next day? What things I did that I'm proud of? So I want to remind myself, observe the good things I've done throughout the day to repeat them next day. And then the second area is, what could I do better? If I could rewind today and play today again, live today one more time, what would I do differently? And this way we are improving the maybe unconscious behaviors that are not serving us, that are not loving to us. So journaling practice is great. Also, type of meditation could be just walk in the park with no devices. Probably your listeners are education junkies, we could say, that always they go park, podcast, they drive a car, audiobook, always learning, which is great. But it's great to just go to a park with no device. It's great to go out and not listen to anything and just be in the moment. Because so many people don't know themselves. And if you don't know yourself, how can you change yourself? And most people don't know themselves because they don't spend time with themselves. I give it an example. It's like, imagine I came to my girlfriend. I told her, hey, babe, I will spend 5 minutes a day with you. She will break up with me. She's like, what? I don't want to be with somebody 5 minutes, but that's the relationship we have with ourselves. We are never with ourselves. We are always, we are waiting for a friend. Let's check emails. We are waiting for a movie to start. Let's check Instagram. We are always distracted, never with ourselves. So we don't know ourselves and therefore we can't change ourselves. So walk in the park alone, dedicating time to just think, to journal, are great practices that help people increase their awareness.
Definitely. The mind has to be able to wander. Otherwise, it can't learn.
Yes.
So, you know, I must say I can be guilty of always wanting to be a glutton for knowledge and wanting to listen to more and learn more. But, allowing the mind to just wander and think its own thoughts is an essential component to learning. So it does balance that and help you find the sweet spot. I so agree with you that we have to get to know ourselves and learn to really love ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think for many people, it's hard to be with themselves in the beginning because our training has been so outwardly focused. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to come back inside. It's difficult to even know what to do when you're alone with yourself. Mm-hmm. Have you got suggestions to help people with that? Because I can almost hear the listeners saying, "Yo, I wouldn't know what to do with myself." Yeah.
And that's a great start because I tell people that usually people nowadays don't know how to be bored anymore because we are just one click, one scroll, one app away from getting distracted. So just try it. Put a timer for 15 minutes and just sit in a chair and see what happens. See where your mind will start going. And rather than judging it, observe it, and you will find out why you are maybe not as happy as you want to be, because you will observe that the mind is always rushing, always wanting some distraction. And you will realize, wow, this is probably not aligned with me. Or it start going to your enemies or to the people you judge or you don't like. So the mind will tell us a lot about ourselves when we give it a space. That's why it's so important to have these moments when there is no distractions. Because I know it's uncomfortable. I'm not going to say at the beginning it's comfortable. You have the tendency to go on a phone, open a book, do something. But if you go through that and you observe yourself, you will find to enjoy more and more the company of yourself. And then you will almost look forward to, let me go for a walk. And you will enjoy it, but there will be some initial period where you need to get over the uncomfortable. And that's like with anything. If I start playing tennis today, I'm not going to be good at it. If I start meditating today, I'm not going to be good at it. But we must be willing to overcome the initial uncomfortable phase, and then we'll find the treasures we are seeking. Because, yes, the treasures are not in a book. The book can inspire us to maybe find it within ourselves. But if we start spending time with ourselves, we'll find the treasures. Mm.
I think it does help to encourage the listeners and myself and maybe even yourself to be prepared for the discomfort.
Yes.
Because then when it is uncomfortable, you don't feel like you're wrong or it shouldn't be this way. I remember I took a trip up with a whole bunch of girls. We went to ride our bikes across the Danakil Desert in northeastern Ethiopia. And that area is called the gateway to hell because it's the hottest place on earth. And I remember we were sitting in the middle of absolutely nowhere in the desert with no devices. There was no electricity or any form of entertainment. None of us could talk because we were just too hot and miserable to say a word. And the boredom and the sort of discomfort that was bubbling up to the surface for me was just overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I think I would have wanted to run and hide if I hadn't sort of had this awareness that it's okay. It's uncomfortable and it's normal, and you know, just to sort of be able to sit with it and let that bubble up to the surface, it will pass. And it did, and I came home apart from exhausted and very run down, but with a lot more peace because of the lack of distraction. So I think from my experience, it does help to be prepared for that, and also to know that the discomfort will lessen with time.
Yes, it's like maybe the listeners go to some classes like spinning or some maybe round workouts. And I know when I went to spinning, throughout the spinning class, I was quote unquote dying. I was like sweating. I was like, I'm done with this. And then you feel so good after that you said, let's sign up to another class. Yeah. And the same is here. Yes, it might be uncomfortable throughout, but then at the end, you will get so many rewards that will inspire you to do it again. So I think it's normal and it's good to just expect it or just know it's coming. But just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean you need to quit. Doesn't mean you are going to quote unquote die. You're not. You just feel uncomfortable for a moment. But then, as I said, you will get some rewards.
So if you could pinpoint the most important step you've ever taken that's helped you get to where you've got so fast in your life, what would you pin it as being?
Yes, I would pinpoint it to something I mentioned at the beginning, which was the realization that if I want to change anything in my life, I mean anything, I need to start with myself. So the one practice I continue doing in my life over and over again is asking myself, who do I need to become to get the result I want? So if, for example, I would say, oh, I would love to be in a relationship that is loving, that is joyful. Okay, I first need to become a great boyfriend that can have this type of relationship. If I want to be happier, okay, what is currently make me unhappy? Oh, it's the inner critic. What can I do to silence the inner critic? So I always go back to this formula. If I want new life, I need to upgrade myself. That's it. And I just ask myself, in this area, I want to have better life. Okay, what do I need to upgrade? I upgrade this. And then I just focus on every day making few small steps towards upgrading myself.
Well, you certainly inspire. Have you got one last little nugget that you'd love to share with everybody?
I believe we covered a lot of ground today, and I hope that the listeners took many, many points home. And I always tell people, put 80% on the shelf. Don't worry about the 80% we said, but what is one thing you can apply? Because that could have dramatic results on your life. Because a lot of people want to apply everything immediately, and it's so overwhelming that you usually give up. It's like New Year's resolution. You say 15 things you will do, and after a week, you are doing none. So rather, choose one. What was one thing that resonated? Maybe it's the journaling. Maybe it's the morning meditation. Maybe it's the mirror work. Maybe it's writing down where you need to upgrade yourself. But pick one thing and commit. Commit for weeks to do it daily until it becomes habit. And once it becomes habit, it will be automatic and it will be easy to do. So that's what I would share at the end for the listeners.
Yeah. Vash Tominic, you are just an incredible inspiration. You're so clear in your message, and that's, I'm sure, why your work is so powerful. Thank you very much for sharing your time and expertise and insight. I know that you are coming to South Africa, and not all, but many of our listeners are South African. Can you just share with us something about the trip that you're going to do and the work that you're going to do when you come here?
Yes, I would love to. So I was invited by beautiful community in Cape Town and Johannesburg. So I will be in Johannesburg on 12th October this year, and a week later, so 19th of October in Cape Town. So the tickets are available in, it's called Quicket software or app where you can find it. It's called Uplevel Your Life with Vash Tomanek. And basically it's going to be whole 1 day seminar from morning till afternoon. Well, where I will show you some of these tools. I will walk you through also a few short meditations to really give you the experience and show you how you can uplevel your life. And it doesn't matter if it means financially, if it means in terms of well-being, in terms of your relationships, really doesn't matter. I will give you the strategies that you can use in your life. It's going to be very practical, very active. You can ask me for anything. So if anybody's interested, definitely go check it out. I believe this event is going to be incredible, and I will be very excited to meet you in person.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure lots of people would be interested to come. I'm sure it will be an incredible day in whichever city you could come to it in. Thank you very much for your time and for being here with us. I've just loved having this conversation with you. I feel very blessed because I've now had more than one conversation with you. And thank you for the inspiring message that well-being to a large degree comes from your mindset and from taking charge of that voice in your head and of where your mind is going, and literally making sure that your mind is focusing where you want it to focus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and take care, and we'll see you in South Africa when you get here.
Yes, thank you, Sue, for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Route to Wellbeing. I hope that this episode has been really useful and helpful for you. Thank you to the team who brought it into being and to our special guests who so generously gave of their time and their insights. Please remember to share it with all in your network who you think it can help. Sharing help that really helps is what makes the world go round.